Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of Shattacast, where we are going to talk about video games. But before we do that, Derek, as always, I have a question for you.
What is it, John?
What is a fire truck's favorite video game console?
Huh, I'm not sure. What is it?
A Wii U. Wii U. Wii U. Wii U. Wii
so
U.
Bad.
I think that just Gabe's face of disgust just really matching.
Gabe's having none of it.
Gabe's disgust is what he has.
Could actually taste that one. I think he could taste it and didn't agree with him.
Gosh.
And now, as we come back from our intro, thank you very much for always enduring through the power of Christ the awful puns that I lobby at my friends here. I am joined by Gabe, the venerable CEO and president of Shattered, and that is Derek.
Oh, yeah, the way you titled that, I want to look at your comma placement.
It was more like, for a second, I almost said Shattercast instead of Shattered Studios, and I was like, that's not accurate. Of course, Joel, always here, always loved and appreciated. Matter,
John, you know, I'm just glad to be here.
I'm sure you are, Joel.
I'm just glad you guys keep on bringing me back for these things. That's what surprised me.
We need to talk later on Joel's contract. When is it up?
Yes, okay. It's
well,
up soon.
Actually, I've now sworn my loyalty to like Gabe. So,
the Gabe.
Yeah.
So I definitely got to know that. All right. Speaking of swearing loyalty. We're going to talk about video games today.
Wow.
And specifically, you know, we know in the news there's a new generation of consoles coming out this year. It seems to have not been slowed down by the current international situation we find ourselves in. But we've got the next gen of PlayStations and Xboxes. And I love how, side note, this wasn't in the notes or anything, but I love how every time a new generation of console comes out now, there's like four versions of it, you know? Like, you're not just going to get the new Xbox. It's like, you're going to get an Xbox, but then there's also, like, letter variations. It's like they took the Apple method of new generations. Well, there's four Xboxes to choose from this year, really.
It's so confusing right now. Like, I was doing research. It's like, Xbox Series S, Xbox Series X. I'm like, can you pick another name, please?
Right? It's like, can we just stick to title updates only? I don't want 1.1237. I want one... And then 1.1 and 1.2. Let's just keep it easy, please.
And then PlayStation's like, PlayStation 5, y'all, hold my controller.
This is pretty much, it's like buying like a new car, you know? You got like the XX.
The LX.
You got the LX.
You got the... pick for your new Xbox, yeah.
Yeah.
So with these consoles launching later this year, there is obviously talk of exclusivity and games that are going to be available on one console or the other. As a brief intro to that, my favorite series of games, which I won't recommend because they are shooter games and they have, you know, language and other things. And so, you know, do your research before you buy and play a game. You know, it's not for everybody, but Metal Gear Solid and that series of games, for me, the penultimate of gaming. Growing up playing Metal Gear Solid on the original PlayStation, the stories that they wove took gaming from this escape where I can just have fun to, wow, this actually is challenging my worldview because the story they're telling is that compelling and that detailed and made me fall in love with the idea of that. So that was originally a PlayStation exclusive. And then I want to say within the last 8 years or so, they got rid of that and you can get it on Xbox now. There are still some games that are exclusive. Gears of War is still exclusive. The Uncharted series on PlayStation, still just PlayStation. But that being said, let's just talk about exclusivity in games. What do we want to talk to? Derek, you start.
I definitely think there's different types of exclusivity. As you were just mentioning, John, there are some franchises who traditionally just come out on one console, and they're kind of console sellers. So if we're talking about Xbox, we're thinking like the Gears of War, the Halo, a couple sports games, a couple other stuff I can't think about because I'm not an Xbox guy. Sorry. Growing up, I was more into RPGs, so that's actually why I got into PlayStation, because PlayStation had more of the Final Fantasy stuff, more of the Uncharted, things like that, that kind of appealed to me. But that's been around forever. If you think about Nintendo, if you're going to play a Mario game or a Link, you need a Nintendo, or Zelda, sorry. sorry, fanboys. You need a Nintendo console. And so I think we're used to that. So I think kind of games on different consoles are we're pretty used to. But then there's other types of exclusivities that are coming out. Where a game might start off on one console, as you were talking about, John, and then branch out to other systems. Or Xbox continues to do something interesting. A lot of their games are appearing both on Xbox and PC because they're both owned by Microsoft. And so we can talk about the pros and cons of that. So what do you guys think about console exclusivity first? Do you guys think it's a good thing, bad thing, or how do you guys feel about that?
Well, I think that, you know, they need to have it because that's what makes you want to buy that console. It is the games that you buy for, and I think we've discussed this many times in the past, but you buy it for the games. You're not buying it for the hardware. You want the good games that your friends are playing. I think that Nintendo has it right because they make games for a platform that's so unique that you can only play those games on their platform. You know, when you have like Xbox game, it makes sense you could play it on the PC because the Xbox controller, you can attach it to your PC. That's what I do. Now I pretty much exclusively play on the PC now. That's what my game on. But I plug in my Xbox controller here to my PC to play games. So, you know, to me, I've kind of removed myself from the whole debate of should I get the PlayStation or should I get the Xbox. Now, the difference is cost-wise, if you want to build a good PC, you're spending a lot of money. You're at least looking at a grand, upwards to $2,000, maybe even more than that. And that's a lot of money. You know.
As a PC fanboy, I will say, worth it.
It's pretty worth it. You know?
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, should I get the new Xbox and new PlayStation this year? And I'm like, I built a PC 3 years ago, and it's still better than both of the new options. So
we're downloading all the emulators.
No, we're going to endorse emulators.
We're not endorsing that.
Okay. But
Joel, you were saying
to bring it back down to earth. If you're someone that's like, I want the Xbox, I want the PlayStation. Which one should I choose? Go with the exclusive games. I think that the PlayStation has a better lineup, at least for the games that I tend to like. Similar to Derek, I tend to like the more RPG stuff. And I think the PlayStation has been winning. The Xbox has been doing interesting stuff where, going back to the Xbox One, they were not just making a video game console, they wanted an entertainment system.
Yeah.
And as the console wars increase, the Xbox, they're pretty much making it a mini computer. In a sense, it already is. Both of them kind of are, where they're mini computers. You can do all your computer browsing on them. You can watch YouTube. You can watch Netflix. I mean, they become these entertainment ports that are just they just cost you less than building your own PC. And I think as video games become more and more like computers, or as these systems become more and more like computers, the more the games are going to have crossovers with games that are going to be on both of them. Because at the end of the day, I think that the end game is, in 10 years from now, will the Xbox be distinguishable from just owning a PC? And the truth, my own opinion, I don't think it will be. I think that they'll be one and the same at that point. I think that the PlayStation may hold on to their gaming style more because they're doing creative stuff with their tracking pad on the, or at least they were at one point, and they've always been, you know, at least the way that they've sold themselves has always been, this is for video games, whereas Xbox has always been, this is an entertainment system. And I think that Nintendo will always have an upper hand on it. I love them. because just to reiterate my point as before, it's because they make games that you can only play on their system because their system is so weird. It's stuff they do is so out there. Like whenever they launch on the Wii, everyone's like, what the heck? Whenever they launch like the Wii U, it's like, what the heck? Like most people don't even know how to respond to it, but they know that the new Zelda game is going to require you to use these new controllers. So you can't cheat and put it on the PC, you know? However, if this is like a new Call of Duty game or new Halo game, it's like, why can't I play it on my PC? Because my PC, I can still, you know, there's no difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those are really good points. And I think that it expands out from even just franchise exclusivity where you will see like even games like Destiny where you could play on several different consoles, they might release an expansion or a DLC on a particular console first. Call of Duty has done that. A lot of games that are cross compatible, The Division, both the first and the second one did that, where, you know, you might get an expansion or a DLC available a month early, depending on what system you're playing on. And that can be frustrating for gamers who feel like, oh, yay, I can play this game anyway. But, you know, my friend over here who plays it on a different system, they're experiencing new content a month before I am because Sony and Microsoft, you know, one of them bid higher than the other one, and so they get to enjoy content a little bit earlier. That can be frustrating.
It is frustrating, but it's part of the business. It's nothing different than what we've seen in every single industry that we know of right now in the world, because it's exactly the same that has happened with the streaming services. It's mm-hmm. exactly the same that before used to happen with cable services. It's exactly the same that happens with furniture places. It's like, if you want a specific piece of furniture, you're not going to go to the opposite store to get it. If you want a McDouble, if you want a Big Mac, you're not going to go to Burger King to get it. You see, so
it's, games tell you stop crying about exclusivity. All right,
yeah, stop it.
It's the name of the game. Stop
yawning.
Right. You don't go to Arby's to get a Whopper.
I'm just saying here. I mean,
everybody would
want everything at the same time with what they got, yeah. But that's just part of it. That's just part of what it means. One of the reasons that they're getting better, it's because there's competition between them. If there was no competition, what would be their intent to get better? Probably, yeah, sure, of course, get the best. And maybe there are some minds that are saying, well, it's because I want to push the envelope, right? But we live in a capitalist society that what it's saying is like, okay, what is getting me the best return for my investment, if that's the case, right? And sometimes those license agreements, sometimes those buyouts of rights, of the rights of the games, or exclusivity, as we say it, it's even the best option for the developers of the games. Because maybe, what if the option is like, well, either you give us the exclusivity or we're not going to promote your game here in this console, right? Then what's the point of saying it? It's I remember that one of the things that Joel likes a lot and that we talk about, it's about art itself. And it's all the expressions of art. Well, video games are right now an expression of art that is growing right now. That it's pretty new. I mean, it's not that video games have been here for centuries. So it's just getting back, and maybe there's a new way of doing business right now, but what we've seen in our society is just basically going back to the same. Even streaming services, when they started coming out, it's like, oh, well, finally we're going to get all these movies in one same place, all these TV series, all these things in one place, right? But what happened is that it started going back to the same thing that was cable. And it's exactly the same thing that the video game industry is doing. Do I believe that there's a better way of doing it? I believe that there's a better way of doing it, but it doesn't seem that we're going that way. Yeah, exactly. So as for the time being, unfortunately, just go with what you like. If here's my thing. I like Mario Kart a lot, and I like Super Smash Bros. A lot, but I know that I'm not going to get it in PlayStation, right? And if that's the kind of game that I like playing with my friends, if that's the kind of game that I say, like, hey, this is the best one for me and for my enjoyment, then why would I go with a console that is not going to give me that, right? each one of the consoles has its pros and its cons. I remember one, we're not endorsing the Big Bang Theory, but I remember one episode where Sheldon was trying to get an Xbox or a PlayStation. And it was like the whole episode trying to get one or the other. And it's like, oh no, but this one has this, but doesn't have this. And this one has this, but doesn't have this. It's the same in every single decision. I say, make a decision, go with it, and get the best out of it. Because it's still enjoyable, either one or the other.
I think the scene of him trying to explain his situation
to friends. Get friends that have the other one. You get one and get your friend to get the other one.
Well, and you know, honestly, that brings up another good point, and that's being a PC gamer. I grew up on consoles, loved consoles. I mean, Sega, and my parents, my older brothers had an Atari, so we still had one when I was there, and so I played on the Atari. Sega all the way through Nintendo, and then eventually PlayStation was the big one, and then you had the Xbox and you had the PS2, you know, which one are you going to get? And we went with PS2, and it wasn't until I think the PS4 that I got my first Xbox, and that was the first real experience I had with that. By that point, Halo had already been on the PC, so I didn't care. And Xbox is cool, but now I don't buy a console unless I have to, and the only reason that I consider myself having to is if all of my brothers who live in various places thousands of miles away from me are going to get a console, and it's the only way we can play together. So I have a PlayStation that I only break out if I'm playing a game that I can't play on the computer with my brothers, because one of them lives in Ohio, another one in Missouri, another one in Texas. Like, they all live super far away from me, and I hardly ever see them, but video games bring us together. And so I would say, if you're not worried about exclusivity and you're not worried about specific game titles that you want to play on one or the other, this would be one of the very few times that you will ever hear John say, do what your friends are doing. And that is, if you want to be able to play games with your friends, pick the console that's going to let you play games with your friends. Ultimately, the Xbox and the PlayStation are going to be head-to-head on graphics, on HD support, on audio support. This isn't the first generation where I think the original Xbox, didn't they back like HD DVD and PlayStation went Blu-ray, and Microsoft lost that battle hardcore. But now they both do Blu-ray, okay? They both have like 8K outputs. It's insane. Okay, so just all that hardware argument, Mostly doesn't matter. Just play with your friends and have fun. Doesn't have to be a nightmare.
I love it. So we've been talking about console game exclusivity, I agree pretty much with, I think, everyone. That doesn't really bother me. Their games is a business. They're trying to sell you. It's interesting that the Xbox Series X is set to come out in November now. But they announced that Halo won't be out till the new Halo won't be out till next year. So I'm curious how that's going to impact their sales. So That's interesting. Where it gets a little bit trickier is content exclusivity. So John was talking about like certain games, you might get a DLC drop sooner or whatever. It's still business. Again, that doesn't bother me too much. The new thing that's out now is that Marvel Avengers, this new game that's coming out. They have a couple deals with PlayStation. So two things happen. One, there's some costume emote DLC that's exclusive for like 30 days or something for PlayStation. Okay. The kind of the murkier things is that they're doing a beta that was for the first weekend just for PlayStation, second weekend for Xbox users, and then third weekend is for everyone, I believe is how they spread it. First off, I don't consider that a beta. That's just me. We'll talk about that another time.
Betas in a lot of the video game industry aren't betas anymore.
Yeah. that's a demo. You're giving me it's a demo. It's what you're doing. But that's a whole nother issue. The big issue, though, is that you can only access a special character Spider-Man on the PlayStation currently. And that might be because of Sony's deals and all that stuff, but some Xbox fans and PC fans are like, hey, we like Spider-Man too. Is that fair? So it's also a business, and I have a PlayStation, so it won't affect me if I decide to get the game, but I can kind of see why other people who might really love Spider-Man, they won't even have a chance to play this character currently unless they change stuff because they don't have that particular system out now. What do you guys think about that? Is that fair? Is that still business? What do you guys feel about that?
I think it's still business, but it's unfortunate. One of the things that I do not like in the business side of the video game industry is, for example, when it starts getting too much into DLCs and it's like, oh, well, now you cannot get the fullness of the game and enjoy the game unless you buy a DLC or unless you buy the extra content. Like, for example, this case is like, oh, wonderful, I'm going to buy a Marvel game, right? And I'm going to be able to play, I don't know, with the Avengers, with the whole thing. And it's like, well, no, you can only play with half of it because the other half you don't get access to. That's when it starts getting very touchy in a sense. Why, personally, I like a lot of the single-player games and the campaigns and all those things, so I hope to be able to play with everything that has to do with the story. Now, that's not the case today, but you should be able to enjoy the game as you're buying. If you're already paying for it, you should already get the fullness of it. And everything else should be an extra instead of just like having to pay to be able to play the game that you already paid for.
I have a solution.
What's your solution?
On the Xbox version, they need to release a character named Arachno Boy.
Arachno Boy. Man Spider.
I think Derek, probably the you're right. The reason Spider-Man is only going to be available on PlayStation is almost assuredly because of Sony contracts with Spider-Man in general.
Yep.
That being said, let's extrapolate that to other things, right? So when you pre-order a game through Best Buy, you're probably going to get an in-game bonus. It's going to be different if you pre-order it through GameStop or Walmart or Target or whichever company. And so those usually don't matter too much. They're usually cosmetic, but sometimes they're not. They're actual in-game items that might give you a benefit and could inform which place you pre-order it from if you want the pre-order bonus. At the same time, if this is the logical extension of that, imagine Destiny 3 comes out. You have your three classes, Titan, Hunter, and Warlock. And what if you can only play the Hunter class in Xbox? You have an entire class that's locked out to you. You know, what if that is a direction that games end up going, where you get the game, but some of the content is gated depending on which system you're playing on? I not that I'm a cynic, but I don't put that past the video game industry if they think it will make them more money.
And if we get to that point, then it's just going to be up to the people to stop buying the games that they say.
100%. Like, 100%. That's why I don't pre-order games anymore. I just don't pre-order games. I like, no, I want a finished, successful product that I can purchase. Yeah. Too often, the video game industry has treated pre-orders like their own version of Kickstarter. And it's like they're not ready. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, and I think with this Marvel game, I think that we'll figure out the results of that if it makes any sales on the Xbox and this really kills it. Because if they find out that this kills the sales on the Xbox, then they're not going to repeat that same mistake if they have any sort of sense, you know. But if they realize it does not affect the sales at all, then okay. You know, so I think that this is one of the things that only time will tell. I think it is a slippery slope. I'm nothing wrong with games having special add-ons you get if you buy it for a special system, but if it takes out a chunk of the game, that's just not a cool way of doing that thing. I mean, it's just not right for, I think, the buyer. I mean, at least if they know up front, then they can still make that choice. But you know,
I remember that we had an episode about being a little having grace with the video game companies.
Yeah, it was not, specifically not, for Blizzard, but yeah.
Yeah. I was going more general, but yeah.
no, it's okay.
They're not always gonna make the best decisions. And as Joel was saying, they're gonna see, and it's only time that's gonna tell if they actually keep doing these decisions or they're gonna stop. And if it ends up being on the buyer. Because if they don't see any purchases being made because of this reason, then probably they're not going to do it anymore. So
that's a good point. And I think, you know, even the way that we talk about it has been informed by the video game industry, right? We call it exclusive content. And exclusive feels good. It feels exciting. It feels like you're a part of a club that other people aren't a part of. And everyone wants to fit in. Everyone wants to be a part of something. So when we start talking about exclusive content, it has a very positive connotation. The reality of it is we could also say that it's playing favorites. We could say that they are showing favoritism towards Sony and not wanting to double down and say, no, we want this character available on Xbox. And try and push that contract. We don't know if they did get into it back and forth and really fought for it, or if they were just like, oh yeah, that's not a problem. We don't know. But it's very possible that that was the way that it panned out. And so it can feel good to have exclusive content. It can feel bad to feel like the other group of people is the parents' favorite. And so we start talking about exclusivity. I think favoritism is an equally appropriate way to talk about it and to give just the other side of the coin and some of the negatives of the industry. It is the way that things are, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the way that things are always right or correct. And so, you know, from a biblical perspective, we talk about favoritism. I think the easiest, shortest verse, which I'm not going to read the whole context, even though I'm a huge fan of context. All right, you can look it up later. Read the whole chapter in Romans, and I promise it won't change the meaning of this verse. But Romans 2:11, God doesn't show favoritism. So when we start talking about exclusive content in video games and we feel like we're being left out, one of the things that I always want to remind people of and caution people of is that ultimately you're not missing out on anything eternal. You're not missing out on anything that matters, right? From a biblical, like eternal standpoint, God isn't going to favor one person over another. He's not going to like lift somebody up and be like, eh, you don't matter to me, right? God isn't that kind of a parent. That is my initial thoughts. I have more, but I want to open the floor and let some other people share maybe their thoughts about favoritism in the Bible and scripture.
Yeah, I think it depends on how you, I agree with that. And I think it depends on how you define favoritism. And we have the definition here. So practice of giving unfair preferential treatment to one person or group at the expense of others. The Bible is clear as far as people, we're not supposed to play favorites. We're not supposed to, there's clear scripture. We're not supposed to treat someone differently because they might have less or more money because they look a certain way. That's a
commitment. My wife is my favorite.
What was that?
My wife's
my favorite. That's a different application there.
Okay.
again, we're not supposed to assess value to someone based on how they look or what we think about them. God's clear. We're supposed to treat everyone with the same amount of worth and love and care that God treats us. And I think the same applies to God as far as God loves everyone and God cares for everyone. God wants the best for everyone. Where we can play semantics just a little bit is the Bible also says interesting things like God is, and I would use the term more of a champion for those who are oppressed, for those who are beaten down, for those who have less, who are constantly picked on. God champions their cause. God's a champion of the underdog to make sure that all of us take care of those who are most in need. And so I think we need to remember that as well. And then finally, God gives favor. Another word, God gives favor to those who follow him, to those who are trying to live their life, who are called according to his will, who have accepted him, who have dedicated their lives to him, who are trying their best to honor him, all that he does, or all that we do. God says, I will bless them. I will favor them. Romans 8:28, that we love the quote, says, I will work together all things for good for those who are called according to God's purpose and who love him. So again, I think those are different words. We're not supposed to show favoritism, yet God still champions those who are oppressed, and we should also model that. And God shows favor on those who are trying to do their best to follow him. So three different concepts there. The main concept in this context, though, is no, we're not supposed to treat anyone better or worse than anyone based on where they're from or how they look. Those are my thoughts. What do you guys think?
Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way you said, I mean, the word definitely backs all that stuff up. I mean, one of the things that I think Jesus tells, you know, he tells, it's like, hey, like, don't just give someone a better seat, you know, in the synagogue because they look like they have nicer clothes and robes or whatever. Like, no, like, treat everyone, you know, don't give them, you know, something better just because they look better, just because they're more appealing. One of the things that God says, like, God judges the heart. So God's looking at where man only judges outwardly. We see even with the story of King David, the prophet at that time, Samuel, God knew he was going to call someone from the house of Jesse to lead. So Jesse had many sons, like 10 or 11 of them. And he brought them all out there to show the prophet. And the first one was like the tallest, best, good-looking one. And Samuel said, like, okay, Lord, is this the one? The Lord's like, nope. And he went down the line, all of them. And the Lord said, no to all of them. And he's like, Lord, what? And then he asked Jesse, like, do you have one more son? He's like, yeah, I have one more son, but he's out with the sheep right now. Like, do you want me to call him in there? He's kind of like the runt of the litter. You know, do you want me to bring this guy in here? And they're like, yeah, bring him in here. That's the one that God I'm choosing.
I like to imagine Jesse, like, getting a little bit sweatier the further he's like, down the line. He's like, oh, gosh. Oh, no. Like, he's just like, well, maybe we won't get all the way to David. You know, I just like to imagine he's just getting, like, more nervous, like it's getting kind of warm in here, you know?
So God ended up picking the one that, you know, even his own dad didn't think this was there's a kid that he's not worth bringing out. You know, because he was a little unhinged. He looked a little different. You know, he kind of, you know, he killed a bear and a lion. He's kind of like this madman. He would boast a lot. You know, but that's the one that God chose because God knew his heart. So when we look at this thing, God looks at someone's heart. He doesn't look at, you know, who's the most prim and, you know, best looking, pretty, whatever. You know, sometimes here in the Western world, we get this thing where it's like this man of God's syndrome where we built an entire ministry based off of one person and their names on every poster, their names on every booklet, and we exalt them to this almost like this Moses type level where it's like this guy's like the most high priest of high priests. And in this new covenant, here's the good news, guys, everybody can function how Jesus did. Everybody can walk the walk. Everybody can do it. It's not about a few select. God has a calling for everybody. He does say that some are given less, you know, some may just have less, but it says if you take those things, they will multiply. You may feel like, Lord, I'm at a disadvantage because I'm in a wheelchair. Lord, I'm at a disadvantage because I have a speech impediment. Lord, I'm at a disadvantage. But know that even if you just give the Lord what you have, he will take that and he will double that. He will multiply that. God is so faithful in those type of things. Don't put a limit on it. And don't exalt somebody just because they have the perfect white teeth and the perfect smile and the most beautiful wife. And they're like, oh, this is like the man of God. Like, oh, everything's about him. It's like, no, God's looking at you and he's saying, look, you, I have a calling for you that's special for you. He doesn't love you any less than them. He doesn't love you any more than them. But he does have a special calling for you, the same as every one of us is a unique human being. And here at Shatter Studios, we cater to the creative. It's for all people, but we want to go after the creative one, the one that's individual. You know, there was a guy that I just met and he makes hip hop music. He dyed his hair purple. He wears a lot of necklaces, a lot of jewelry. And God just gave me such a heart for this man. I just had such a heart for him because he's such a unique person. He doesn't have to conform or commit to it. He has his own style and God made him perfect in that way. You know, when David went to fight Goliath and Saul says, put on my armor to fight him. And David says, your armor is too heavy. It doesn't fit me. It's not conformed to my body shape. Here's what works for me. The slingshot works. And Saul's like, all right, dude, like, if you think that you can stop a giant with that, go ahead, man. But you might want to take up a sword and some armor. He's like, that doesn't fit me. So what may fit you may not fit someone else. And what may fit them, you know, so the more you get to know God, the more you learn about how much he loves you, the more that it encourages you to be the best you. You don't have to be the best Gabriel. You don't have to be the best Derek. You don't have to be the best John. You can just be the best you. And that will honestly be the place where you thrive at. So don't get this idea that God's picking out a favorite that he loves someone more just because it looks like they have more on the outside. He's looking at the heart. And if your heart is fully for God, even to tie this whole thing back in a bow, to tie what you said, Derek, that verse in Romans I have on my wall here, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them who love God. You know, so if we love God, if that's our number one priority, is loving God, everything else is going to fall in place. It's just going to set in, you know. We don't have to put on a mask. We don't have to put on a face. We don't have to pretend that we have this man of God syndrome or woman of God syndrome. Just be yourself, but still live a holy and pure life, because that's how you love God, is by fulfilling his commandments, you know. So pretty simple stuff, but it speaks to our heart, and it frees me. I mean, to be honest, this way stuff frees me to just, okay, I don't have to conform to someone else's shell. I don't have to put on their armor. I can put on my own armor, you know.
Definitely. Thank you, Joel. That was very good. Very good. Wonderful conversation. I appreciate all of you and the things that you had to share. I appreciate you for watching this video. If there's sort of one takeaway, I think we would want you to know that you are beautifully and wonderfully made, exactly the way that the potter crafted you. We love you. God loves you. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Like and subscribe.
You guys ready to knock out this last one?
Yes.
I'm running out of steam.
Same. One second to get some more water, and we'll be good. I should have hit record right before and caught that yawn. Dang it.
All right.
A yawn cast.